Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 147, In Christ or in Crisis, part of the Emerging from Crisis series. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message in Fort Wayne, Indiana on September 20th, 2020.
Want to position me. I mean, that's what the word says, right? That's the design, but maybe I'm not quite walking that out. Maybe there's some positioning that God wants me to do or has, you know, needs me to get in position along to line up with this word that we truly reign with him, that we have his authority, the authority of Jesus, right? To even take care of a pesky bee that's flying around or something. You know, all the things, all the promises, all the things that the word says about who we are and what that means, that we have the power of the name of Jesus, right? And all of the tools that we learn about, that we get equipped, that we have in our tool belt, are we wielding them? Yes. So let's just pray. Let's just pray for revelation, further revelation that we reign with Jesus, because we all know that we're living in interesting times. We are in the end days, the end times. And God, Jesus, we need to be for the victory that he has for the church. We need to be in a position that we are walking out that rule and reign, that we truly, that it's not just a word that says here, but it doesn't quite match up with our lives or match up with what we see as the church, what the church is doing. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your word that keeps us in line, that shows us, Holy Spirit, what your plan, your purpose is, Father, and that we rule and we reign with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you purchase with your blood persons from every tribe and language and culture. Thank you that we are included in that, Father, and you want us to rule and reign. Holy Spirit, I pray a revelation over our hearts this week of what that means in our lives and where we're maybe not, we're not walking out that position of ruling and reigning, that we do sit with you in the heavenly realms, Jesus. Show us, Father, Holy Spirit, with your word and with the power of your name and the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We know that you're our helper and that you help us get to a place where we are reigning with you. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We love your name. We lift you up. We are priests, and we want to carry out our priestly duties, our priestly responsibilities, with great joy and great honor and the authority that you have meant and given to us through the purchase with your blood. And we thank you for these things. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. We are going to watch a video from our dear brother, Pastor Israel.
Shalom from Israel. Today we celebrate 5,781st New Year since the creation of Adam. It's a big celebration and big joy in the land of Israel. And our tables are full of symbols. My family is preparing, and I said, I want to bless and pray for my friends. Meanwhile, so you can see the fruits of palm tree in abundance. All over my street, there is palm tree full of fruits. Pomegranate, it's a rimon. It's a beautiful fruit full of seeds, full of blessings, and that's a symbol of God's blessing. And may our lives will be blessed abundantly as this fruit is blessed. And of course, the most important thing is trumpets, because that's the day of biblical trumpets. Tonight, with the sunset, in just few minutes, half an hour actually, we're going to see sunset, and it will be time to blow the shofar, blow the trumpets in Zion, like it says in Joel. So when we blow the shofars, we remember what happened in the Mount of Sinai. But also we proclaim that God still speaks, is alive and still speaks to people of Israel and to every believer in Him. And of course, the most important part, Matthew 24, Yeshua said, I'm going to collect my elected when archangels will give a sign and angels will blow the shofar in Hebrew, or angels will blow the trumpets. Hallelujah. That's the feast when we proclaim the coming of the Lord, when He will come to take His bride. So I'm going to blow the shofar over your life to release a blessing. Now we celebrate a New Year or Feast of Trumpets, and then Yom Kippur, and then Feast of Sukkot. It's a season of biblical feasts, season of double blessings. You have all the reasons. Believe God and trust God for His blessings, His protection, His provision, His, most important, His shalom and His glory in our life. So I pray for you, dear friend, that God will heal your body, will encourage and encounter your soul, and give you His shalom, His peace over your life and your family, over your thoughts, and together we will see glory of God. As it's written in Psalms, it says, blessed the nation that know the sound of trumpet, joyous sound of trumpet. So that's the Jewish sound of trumpet right now. Bless you with His joy, and may God will be with you. Shalom.
So the proper Hebrew greeting is Lashana Tova. Happy New Year. Praise the Lord. So God bless you as we go into this new season. So the Israeli calendar is much different than the Western calendar, and they're beginning their new year just as of last Friday. That would have been at sunset. Praise the Lord. So we want to welcome everybody again today. Welcome to those that are watching us by Facebook Live and those who are rewatching it later on and in our podcast. We thank God for you, and we bless you in Jesus' name. We hope that you are well and that you are prospering just as your soul prospers. And we're blessing you in Jesus' name today from my Father's house. So God bless you, and thank you for joining us today. So I wanted to continue today in our series of messages. We've been talking about emerging from crisis. Isn't it about time? Amen. It's about time, right? But many times we see that crisis is followed by another crisis, and then another crisis, and then another crisis, and it seems like sometimes it's never ending. And in those cases, you know, sometimes you begin to wonder, what do I do next? Because everything keeps shifting and everything keeps changing. So oftentimes we resort to getting advice or asking others for solutions, and sometimes we go to the right people, sometimes we don't go to the right people, and sometimes, you know, we listen to things we maybe shouldn't listen to, and it takes us off course. And there are a lot of people, you know, they just, after they listen to these various pieces of advice, then they try different options. You know, I'll try a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of the other thing. And nothing really gels or works very well. So over the years, we've tried to encourage people to always go back to the Word of God, because there's one thing about the Word of God, it never, never changes. Amen. It's always the same, and you can be really, really consistent when you get the Word of God in your heart and begin to operate out of the download that the Holy Spirit is putting inside of you through the words that have been spoken to through the generations by God to His people. So that's been our main kind of advice when all things are looking crazy and things never seem to be quite resolved and goes from one crisis to another crisis. You have a solid foundation in the Word of God. And when you take that solid foundation and begin to build your life on that foundation, then you can have consistent results in your life, even though things are changing around you. So that's kind of a summary of my message today, but I want to give you some things I think that will help you in that process. What do we do next? So when it seems like these crises never end, you know, then it's time for God's supernatural intervention to really help you emerge from the crisis and to prepare you for the things that are next, whether it's another crisis or whether it's a change in how you're living or a change in some aspect of your life. We really, really need God's supernatural intervention. And when we receive His intervention, then many times the things that we should do next become more and more clear. But the process of all that happening in our life is maybe different a little bit for each person, but the principles are the same. And if we look at the principles of the Word of God, we can process that and begin to take some steps that make sense and that will help us, that will put us in a position for whatever is next, whether it's good or whether it's not good. Praise the Lord. So Jesus taught His disciples in Matthew 6:33. It's very, probably everybody knows this scripture. You know, He says to His disciples, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." What things was He talking about? If you read the rest of Matthew chapter 6, you understand that the things that He was talking to you about were the things, all the things that everybody wants, all the things that everybody needs, all the things that even the heathen people go after. So He said, all those things will be added to you if you will just seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. So we can know that in our heads, though, and we can start to get it down in our heart. But then the question is, how do you walk that out? And that's sometimes where people have some trouble. You know, I know I'm supposed to seek first the kingdom of God, but what does that look like in the life of a real person, you know? And so one of the things that God has done for His people is He's put together the principle of discipleship. So one of the ways that we learn how to walk that out is to find somebody who's walking it out and doing it well, and to follow after that person in the sense that they're following after Jesus. Amen? You know, Paul said, "Follow after me as I follow after Christ." What was he doing? He was putting some principles into his disciples that would help them for the next step or for the next crisis or for the next event or for the next thing that they would face in their lives. He was preparing them. He was just saying, watch me as I follow Christ, and you'll learn some principles. You'll learn some things that make sense that will help you in this process. So if you look at that scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then it was followed by that promise that all those things that everybody strives for would be added to you. If you look at that, one of the things it means for you is that you have to engage. You can't just sit and hope it happens. I hope it happens to me somehow. All these things, you know, I need all these things. I hope it happens somehow. And I'm just going to sit and wait. But sitting and waiting does not get it. You have to engage. You have to be part of the process, because that's called, I guess it's called maturing. It's called growth. It's growing in the things of the Lord. It's seeking a greater depth of your relationship with Jesus so that you can walk these things out, a relationship with the Holy Spirit so that you can clearly hear the voice of God and get direction and get inside of you. Just kind of know that you know that you know that you're on the right track, even though things might be going crazy all around you. I mean, it's really, really important to have yourself grounded in the Word of God so that when you hear the voice of God, you're not just like blown away by, wow, well, that's crazy. I can't do that because of whatever reason you think you can't do that. Praise the Lord. So to engage. Well, there's a key scripture I want to share with you for today. This one you should have underlined in your Bible. You know, there's a problem. The problem is that I don't know what I did with my phone. You see, that's the problem, you know. There's my phone. Okay. So here's the problem. When you have a real Bible and it's a real book, you can circle, you can underline, Amen. You can highlight, you can, you know, every time you go into it, then you'll see what you highlighted. You know, I have like Bibles that go back a few years since I've got a few years on most of you. And in some of those Bibles, you know, you open it up and everything is highlighted. Because at one time or another, something, you know, just, you know, there's like whole pages that are, they're highlighted, they're underlined, and it's like, okay, what was I supposed to take away from this one? Well, just rip the page out, stick it in my pocket, you know. But it's hard, it's not impossible to do on your electronic device, your iPad, your iPhone, your tablet, or whatever you're using. You can highlight, and you can even leave, you can even put notes in there, but you have to figure that out if you're going to do that. And then if you switch versions, it's not in the next version, you know, that you were in, you highlighted the wrong version. So I don't know what the solution for that problem is. Maybe Thomas knows what the solution for that problem is. You can talk to him after the service, but there's some things that need to really be highlighted in your heart. Amen? And so the best thing is to get it off the pages and into the heart. And when you get it off the pages and into the heart, then the Holy Spirit will help you with the highlight part. And when you need something, He'll just bring it up. And He'll give it to you. And He's pretty straightforward usually about all those kind of things, because He just talks directly to your situation and circumstance and cuts out all of the stuff, you know, and doesn't go around the barnyard a few times, you know. He just gets down to business. Amen? Praise the Lord. So this key scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 19, this is a key scripture. This is one that you should highlight in your Bible, in your phone, in all your apps or whatever. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, therefore, and somebody said, some of these old ministers, you know, that we've heard preach over the years, they said, when you see therefore, you have to look to see what it's there for, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So it's really an important segment, and we'll come back to the scripture a little later on in the message, but I want to say at least this much of it. If you look at the last part of that in verse 19, where it says, not imputing their trespasses to them, that means that God's not counting your past and your sins and all of that stuff against you. Isn't that a great message? Amen. I mean, we could just stop here, right here, and go home and say, I'm going to take that to heart. God's not counting it against me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? Amen? Because you can look back at all the stuff that you messed up, all the mess ups you've made in your life and all the wrong decisions you made, and you can dwell on those things, but usually that's not very constructive. I mean, it's not that we shouldn't be conscious of where we came from and thankful, amen, but usually it's not constructive to go back and keep dwelling in and wallowing in what used to be and how I used to be and, you know, how God shouldn't accept me because I was a whatever. That doesn't really help you advance. That doesn't really help you in the next step. That doesn't really help you walk in victory. It just takes you back to the past and makes you sad, maybe. Should make you sad, probably. But it's not the best way to advance, and it's not the best way to mature, and it's not the best way to grow. So when he says, if any man, any person, any woman, any young person is in Christ, he, she, they are new creations. Old things have passed away. Just think about that. That was the old you. It's passed away. And as far as God is concerned, it doesn't exist anymore. After you've come to Jesus, you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, your Lord, you've confessed his Lordship in your life, you have become what we call born again, what Jesus called born again. That old past that's trying to hang on to you or pull you back doesn't exist. It's gone. Old things have passed away. I mean, if that's not true, then they haven't passed away, right? If it's still a blot on your record, it hasn't passed away. If it's still being held against you and the devil is accusing you of it and you're accepting his accusation, it hasn't passed away. So if you want to get beyond that, you have to take the next step. The next step is to get beyond it and to realize inside, old things have passed away. Those things don't have a hold on me anymore. And then sometimes people argue with you, yeah, but what about what I did yesterday and what about my experience and so forth and so on, because there's a struggle. You have to fight to keep what Jesus has purchased for you. That's part of the fight, but that's also part of the maturity. And I know it's not, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's not going to take some effort. I'm not saying it's not going to take discipline. I'm pretty sure that everybody has some aspects of this going on all of the time, no matter what level of maturity you're at. You have to fight to keep what you received. You have to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of what Jesus has given you. The reason he died and took it in himself and took it in his own body on the cross is so that you could walk in freedom. And if you're not walking in freedom from that, then there's a fight that's going on to try to pull you back into that old stuff. So that's what we want to talk to you about today. Are you going to be in Christ or are you going to be in crisis? And in some respects, it's a choice. Now, I know things happen, and I know there are circumstances sometimes that are beyond our control that form the basis of a crisis. But we don't have to live in the crisis. We can live in Christ. And the Word just says there, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. A new creation being, you could say. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God. In other words, the all things that become new are because now in your life, if you've given your life to Jesus and Jesus has come into your life, all things have become new. It's a new day. It's a new chance. It's a new day to live in victory. His mercies are new this morning. His faithfulness is unsurpassed this morning. And he's there for you. And he's going to help you through this day. Even if it's a tough day, he's going to help you through this day. Even if it's a challenging day, he's going to help you through this day. Even if it's an impossible day, he's going to help you through this day. Because with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? And all things are possible to a person who believes. So I want to encourage you, whatever situations are going on in your life, whatever challenges you might be facing, or however big the crisis seems to be, God has something for you, because in Christ you're a new creation being. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, and now everything is of God. Hallelujah. That's where we want to live. That's where we want to be. That's where we want to walk, not in the old things that passed away. Amen. So when the devil keeps trying to drag you back to that old place, just tell him, nothing doing. We're not having that today. Amen. This is a new day. All things are new. All things are of God. And that's the way I'm going to go today. That's the way I'm going to process that today. Praise the Lord. So then he talks about that all things are of God because He's reconciled us to Himself. In other words, He's brought us into His family. He's brought us into His presence. And now, not only that, He's given us a ministry of reconciliation to bring others to that place. So now we have a mission. Now we have a purpose. Now He has a plan that's unfolding for us so that we can be engaged, not just about, this is not about me, myself, and I. This is about this other person who needs to have this reconciliation working in his life, in her life, to bring them to a place where they can connect with God and they can begin to walk on this journey that takes them out of darkness into light, from the power of Satan into the power of God, to receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance with those who are sanctified through faith in Jesus Christ. It's an exciting way to live if we can just step into that kind of a life, let the old things go, let the old things be passed away, and let everything be new, be a new creation being in Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's where we want to be. That's where we want to walk, and we want to learn some principles of how we're going to do that today. But the key is that God is not imputing your trespasses to you, all of the things that you did wrong. He's not counting those things against you because Jesus already took those things to the cross. Isn't that great news? Amen. So we could just leave right now and just say, hallelujah, Jesus set me free. Thank you, Jesus. I'm free because of what you did. I'm free because of your blood, the blood of the Lamb, the words of my testimony. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're going to be talking about in Christ or in crisis. It's your choice. In Christ or in crisis, we can march out of crisis and stay in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I want you to turn to this scripture. We're going to look at the book right now. Philemon chapter, there's only one chapter, I guess. Philemon 1, 6, or Philemon verse 6. And this is what, I guess it's Paul writing to Philemon, and he's saying, I am praying. This is from, I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. He said, I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. Let me read that again. I am praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things that we have in Christ. Think about that. All the good things that we have in Christ. A lot of times we're thinking about the bad things. Not the bad things that we have in Christ, but just the bad things around, right? Because there isn't any bad things in Christ. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights in heaven, and we get that through Jesus, right? But the bad things are out there. And most people, they're ready to tell you about every kind of bad thing, even a lot of believers. I mean, it's almost dangerous to say, how are you? Because you maybe don't want to hear the how are you answer. Amen. Because you know what's coming and it's not good. But Paul is saying here to Philemon, I'm praying that you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith. Generosity has to do with sharing, right? Sharing with others. Can be things, can be time, can be relationship kinds of things. Generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things that you have in Christ. So just begin to think about how to counter all the bad things. The way to counter all the bad things is to remember all the good things. Amen? And to begin to recount the good things. We call that a testimony, right? Sometimes testimonies go awry and we hear all of the, I used to be this rotten, you know, whatever. But part of the testimony is I came out of the rottenness because of Jesus. He washed me in his blood and I came out clean. squeaky clean. I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm in love with God. I'm in love with Jesus. That's who I am. That's the new me. That's part of the words of our testimony. Amen. And that's the great part. Those are the good things. The good things that we can share from our faith, that generously share from our faith, the good things that we understand and experience in Christ. So really, for our faith to be effective, we must really continually acknowledge all the good things that we have in Christ Jesus. That some of the other translations say that, talk about acknowledging what we have in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Another translation says, I pray that everyone who meets you may catch your faith and learn from you how wonderful it is to live in Christ. Wouldn't that be a great thing? A contagious kind of faith. It's just, it's kind of like COVID-19. You catch it. Well, you don't catch it. But, you don't have to catch it. In Jesus' name, you reject that. But, some people think you have to catch it. So instead of having contagious COVID, let's have contagious faith that people catch. When they get close to you, they catch it. Amen. When they're in close proximity with you and not social distancing, they catch your faith. Amen? When they're not wearing their mask, they catch your faith. Praise the Lord. So this is the kind of contagion we want to have. Amen? Praise the Lord. So there's some other translations. I just was looking at some translations. He's in the children. Let's read the Children's Bible translation. I pray that the faith you share will make you understand every blessing we have in Christ. I think that's good, right? The faith we share should make us understand the blessings he's given us. That's pretty awesome. Amen? So, sometimes people have problems with it's not the right translation and so forth and so on. But part of that is just, different people process things a little bit differently. So let's say it as many ways as we can to make people understand and to get it down in our heart. Amen. So I think it's good to sometimes examine something other than your favorite translation. Praise the Lord. So the ISV, I forgot what that even stands for, says, I pray that your partnership in faith may become effective. Isn't that powerful? So we're not in this alone. We have partners. Our partnership in faith should become effective. As you fully acknowledge every blessing that is ours in the Messiah. Isn't that good? That's another good way to look at it. So all these translations, they say it a little differently, but they give you a little different aspect of it. It's kind of like, if you look at somebody's diamond ring, if you look at it from one direction, it looks kind of one way and this color, and you look at it from another direction, it looks different and another color, because diamonds have many facets. So the Word of God is like that. It has many facets. If you look at it from different directions and different perspectives, you can come away with a kind of a fuller meaning of what is the Holy Spirit trying to say to us today about this scripture. Well, here in this scripture, he's talking a lot about acknowledging that we have blessings in Jesus, that we have blessings in Christ, that in him we are tremendously blessed. And in him we have something to share with others. And in him we have things that we can partner with others to share with others. And in him, we can have a really great life, even in the middle of crisis. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Wouldn't that be a good thing to share with somebody that's really going through some stuff? You can have a good life in the middle of crisis because Jesus Christ in you is the hope of glory. Because Jesus in you will make all of the difference. So I want to really encourage you. There's a lot of people in fear. There's a lot of people in all kinds of stress. There's a lot of people in all kinds of stuff. And people are angry at each other. People are, angry at this and that and the other thing. But in the middle of all of that, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And you have something to share. You have something to share about the good things that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior and our best friend. Amen. And here's something from the Amplified Classic. Some people call this the woman's Bible because it has more words. And I pray. And I duck. And I pray that the participation in and the sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
In our... In our, in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory.
Hallelujah.
It is like a woman's Bible.
Well, I bet a guy wrote it.
Now, I think most of you missed it. I have to read it again now. And I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is in that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory.
Amen.
Now, this Bible, this amplified version brings up something that's really, I think, important. It's the aspect of identification, because if we don't identify with who we are in Christ or what we have in Christ and what he has done for us, then if we can't identify with it, then we can't really apply it to our lives. So identification is really, really important. So I'm glad we have the Ladies' Bible here, because it's getting us into some deeper meaning here. Praise the Lord. So as a believer, your new official identity is in Christ Jesus. That's your new ID. If any person, any man, woman, or child is in Christ, he, she, they are new creation beings, created after Christ in righteousness and holiness. That's pretty cool. Amen. That's awesome. Because that's our new identity.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. We just got a new ID card. It's in Christ. That's my new identity. So when you get born again, your destiny requires a change of identity. It requires a new ID. That new ID is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So you must begin to see yourself not as others see you, or not as you used to see yourself. You need to begin to see yourself as God sees you, because he's given you a new identity. So, I mean, you've heard about identity theft. That's when somebody masquerades as you to steal from you, or to somehow use your reputation, your good name, or some other things to get gain. But here we don't have identity theft. God gives us a new ID, a new identification. And in Christ Jesus, we are blessed.
Amen.
And we must begin to recount those blessings that we have in Christ Jesus to others, because that's part of the process that builds inside of us that new creation living, that new creation reality of who we are and what we have when we are in Christ Jesus. It's really, really important. You have to get it down out of the pages and down into your heart, this what this new identity looks like, what this new identity makes you to be. It's a life changer. Because if you can begin to see yourself as God sees you, you will begin to be that different kind of person. You'll begin to process things differently. You'll begin to react to situations differently, respond to situations differently, because in Christ Jesus, you have this new identity, and this new creation reality begins to stir on the inside of you. And then instead of snapping back, you just love. Instead of lashing out, you know, you just cool it and chill. Instead of being agitated and worried and anxious, you're the peace and calm of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Some people say, I don't understand how you can be so calm in this situation. I would just be, and then they describe how they would be, you know, which you didn't need to hear, of course. But you have a new identity.
Amen.
Your new identity is in Christ, and you're a new creation being, so you're walking differently, you're talking differently, you're looking differently. And it shows, and people say, you just shine because the glory of God is in you. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you must begin to see yourself as God sees. So let's take a look at some things that will help you in this process. First thing is, you have to see yourself as being redeemed. Jesus paid a high price for you on the cross of Calvary. So let's look at, let's just take a closer look at this change in our ID. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, for example. It says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So whenever the Bible says in Him, in whom, in Christ, you begin to see what your new identity looks like. And in this scripture, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We see that's a new creation reality, right? It's a new creation reality of being redeemed, being bought back. Somebody paid the price for me. So I can live differently because Jesus paid the price. He paid it all. I didn't get what I deserved. He got what I deserved, and He gave me what He deserved.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And I have a new life in Him. I'm redeemed. And I have forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Because He redeemed me. So in Him, in whom we have received this redemption, I have it because of Jesus. Ephesians 1:7 says, In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Grace is undeserved favor, unmerited favor, sometimes we say. So that means that I have forgiveness of sins in a huge measure, because it's not based on what I deserve. It's based on His grace. It's based on His favor. It's based on God's love for me. That's part of my new ID. Part of my new ID is I'm redeemed. I was bought with a price. That price was the blood of Jesus. And it made me free. So when you're looking at these things, you have to first of all think about, how does this change in ID come about? Does it come about by me trying to get it? No. My trying to get it doesn't make it happen, because I already have it now. If I've made Jesus my Lord, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood. It doesn't say whom we will have or are going to have or will someday get if we try hard enough. I have it now. I have redemption in His blood. I don't have to work for it. I don't have to try to get it. All I have to do is accept Jesus as my Lord, make Him my Lord and my Savior, and I have it. It's mine. It belongs to me. Praise the Lord. So we are now delivered from the authority of darkness, and He, Jesus, is the source, because it's in whom, or we could say in Him, that we have this reality operating in our life. So Satan's dominion is ended. It's stopped. It's finished. When Jesus said it is finished at the cross, our redemption was finished. It was paid in full when He said, it is finished. So Satan's dominion over us is ended, and Jesus' dominion began at the moment we got saved. When you said, when you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you said with your mouth, you confessed, Jesus is my Lord, that was the beginning. Your confession sealed the deal. Your confession of his lordship, of turning your life over to him, sealed the deal. And now Jesus is your Lord. And Jesus' dominion began at that second. The second you said that. You might not have even felt differently. And the crisis around you might not have changed a lot. But all of heaven and earth stood still. Because Jesus became your Lord. And you got a new ID. And your new ID took a hold of redemption. Redemption and forgiveness. You confessed him as Lord, and you were redeemed from the curse. The Bible says the curse of the law. You've been redeemed. Jesus Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law. Think about the impact of that. Because the curse of the law is what brought all of the bad into your life. Because nobody keep it. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know all of those scriptures. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that all began when you said yes to Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. So check down in your heart. Are you living that new reality? Remember your new ID. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in your mind. So the first thing is you're redeemed. So let's just make that confession today. Let's just put this principle into work, right? We're supposed to acknowledge that we have these things, right? So we can confess it or we can acknowledge it by saying, you know, using our mouth, using our voice. So let's just say this together. He's delivered me from the power of darkness. He put me in the kingdom, the Son of his love.
He put me in the kingdom of the Son of his love.
I have redemption through his blood.
I have redemption through his blood.
And I have forgiveness of sins.
And I have forgiveness of sins.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes, amen.
And isn't that positive?
Yes.
And doesn't that take you out of the crisis?
Yes.
Because the real crisis is not about what happened yesterday to the bank account. The real crisis is, what about my soul?
Yes.
What about my eternity?
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
I have redemption through his blood. I have forgiveness of sins. I'm a new creation being. I have a new ID. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Second thing. The second thing is, we're going back to this 2 Corinthians 5:17. The second thing is now that you've accepted Jesus, you're a new creation being. Verse 17 again. We'll just look at verse 17. We won't look at the following verses. But verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, remember, in Christ, in him, in whom, are important words. In Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So it's a huge mistake to look at the natural, the circumstances, and the outside. Because when you come into Christ, when you're in Christ, something has happened on the inside. And what's happened on the inside is far more important than what's happened on the outside. So the outside, you know, might look the same. We got the same old problems. We got the same old look. We got the same old boss. We got the same old job. We got the same old whatever, same old finance deal, same old car, same old whatever. But inside, I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. This is a new day. This is a new dawn. I'm a new creation being. My spirit man has accepted Jesus. He is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my best friend. And I'm on my way into eternity with him. Hallelujah. And I'm not going back.
Amen.
I'm not turning back. Because I have a new ID. I'm ID'd in him. I'm in Christ. That's my new ID. So the born again you, the real you, when Jesus is your Lord, is a new creation reality. You're created, you're crafted like Christ in righteousness and holiness. So acknowledge it, confess it, say it. I'm created in Him, in righteousness. I'm created in holiness. I have right standing with God. I can walk with Him. I can live like Him because I'm in Him. And maybe even more importantly, He's in me. Praise the Lord. Paul says that we are heirs and we're joint heirs with Christ, heirs together with Him. What does that mean? In a sense, it means that we have equal possession because of equal position. If you're a joint heir, that means that you're an heir together with some other person of the same possession, right? And so if you're a joint heir with Jesus, wow, look what He has at His disposal. If you think you got problems, He's got big solutions. Because in Him you live and you move and you have your being. In Him you have everything that pertains to life and godliness through the great and precious promises of His Word. In Him you have access to the Father. You don't have to go through somebody else to get to Him. All you have to do is say the name. Invoke the name. Hallelujah. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 says, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. This is Paul speaking. But he's speaking about himself. I knew a man in Christ. He was speaking about his new ID. And he goes on to tell some things about that. That means he was new in kind and he was new in identity. It's like being a new kind of being. The old you has passed away. You've become a new kind of being. I'm just trying to find some other ways to say this to help us experience what this really could mean to us when we become, in Christ, a changed person. Old things have really passed away. All things have really become new. Because I'm in Him. In Christ, I have new realities. In Christ, I have new opportunities. In Christ, I have a new way of life. In Him, I live and I move and I have my being. And I don't need anything else. I don't need Him plus something else in order to make my life right. All I need is to be in Him. It's my new ID. I'm a new kind of person that never existed before. You know, see, each one of us is an individual, so we're all part of the body of Christ. But each one of us is an individual. There isn't another person like you. Because in Christ, you've become a totally new kind of person, a new kind of being, a new kind, and you have new creation realities operating in your life that nobody else has. Because God is so amazingly creative that for all the millions of people that are following Him today and for all the millions that have followed Him in the past, everyone was a unique individual with unique opportunities, with unique talents and giftings, and with unique personalities. You're a new creation being in Christ. It's a great, great, great life. And you can live it in Him. Praise the Lord. Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. See? That old you passed away. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I don't often use the Message Bible, but this is what it says in the Message. It says, indeed, I've been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. Isn't that important? It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not going to go back on that. Isn't that awesome? Oh, the richness that's in God's word. Amen. It can take you to a new place in life if you'll get it down inside and begin to acknowledge all of the good things. Begin to speak all of the good things. Begin to give voice to all of the good things. And drown out all of the voices of the bad things with all the good things that you have in Christ. Praise the Lord. This is a huge key to living in victory. Over 100 times, maybe over 130 times in the New Testament, it talks about who you are in Christ or in whom or in him, etc. This is who I am. This is what I have because I am in Christ. So let's just say it. I'm a new creation being.
I'm a new creation being.
Old things have passed away. All things have become new.
All things have become new.
And all things are of God.
And all things are of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Number three. Number three is, now that you've come to Jesus, you've accepted him, you've been redeemed, you're a new creation being, you are his workmanship. You're his masterpiece. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Just think about that. You're his workmanship, and you've been given a mission. You've been created especially so that God... You've been created especially so that God could use you in his kingdom. You've been fitted for his plan and for his purpose for your life. Isn't that amazing? Because you're his workmanship. He worked it all out before you were even born. The Bible says that he knitted you together in your mother's womb. He had a plan and a purpose for you. Amazing. The God we serve. How wonderful it is to live for him. We didn't make ourselves a new creation being because we're his workmanship. Be careful how you talk about his workmanship. Don't be mocking what he did by contradicting what he says about you. Don't be trashing yourself and talking bad about yourself and calling negative things to yourself because you're his workmanship. He created you. He crafted you. He made you special. He made you unique. He made you the great person, the beautiful person, the lovely person that you are. And if you're not seeing yourself that way, immerse yourself in these scriptures till you begin to see yourself that way, because you're his workmanship and he didn't make trash. He didn't make junk. He didn't make a throwaway. He made you a special, blessed new creation being so that you could walk in righteousness and holiness before him and be a light to the rest of the world. You're important to him. You are valuable to him. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to the cross to make sure that you could be in Christ and get a new identity. And that new identity says you are his workmanship. It has him written all over you. And when people see you, they begin to see him, because in Christ you are his workmanship, and they can see his creativity all over your life. Hallelujah. He made you worthy. Sometimes people say, "Yes, but I'm not worthy. I'm just a worm." Get over it, because he got over it. He took it to the cross. So you're no longer the little wormy thing. Crawling around, creeping around, you're his workmanship. You're His special creation. Created to be someone. Created to be somebody for Him. Created to be a kingdom person that's doing kingdom things. Important things that are bringing glory and honor to His name. He created you to be that. He made you a new creation, able to come into His presence. Just think about that. You can come into His presence. The Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Come into His courts with praise on your lips. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. He's an awesome God, a wonderful Savior, and He has made you His workmanship, His masterpiece. So tell who you are, not who you think you are or who it seems you are, but say what the Word of God says about you. Say it loud. Say it clear. Say, I am His workmanship.
I am His workmanship.
Hallelujah. You're getting it. On the inside of you, you have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Just think about that. The same Spirit that put life into Jesus, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling in you and is quickening your mortal body, is filling you with the life of God. You're His workmanship. You have the very life of God inside of you. You are a partaker of His divine nature. Just even the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, you're a partaker of His divine nature through the great and the precious promises of His Word. So look at those promises and let that formulate the way your identity looks. Because He is faithful to His promises. And His promises are yes and they're amen to you. So you don't have to back away from them and think, well, what if it doesn't happen? No, take it to the bank. It's happened because Jesus made it happen. Now all I have to do is step into it, and I'm a partaker of His divine nature through those great and precious promises. Thank you, Jesus. Everything that you promised me is mine. Everything you said is mine is mine. I'll just be what you say I am. I'll be who you say I am. I'll do what you say I do. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So you have even treasure in earthen vessels, the Bible says. Isn't that amazing? You know, he saw fit to come and live inside of you because now your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And He's come to live inside of you. He doesn't live in temples built with human hands anymore. He doesn't live in somebody's building with a church steeple. He lives inside of you. He lives collectively in the body of Christ. We are all His temple. Collectively and individually. We are the home of God. Isn't that amazing? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. Number four. After all of this has happened to you and you take on this new ID, the reality is, the new creation reality is, you're no longer condemned. In Romans 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? Then there's no condemnation for you. Nobody's condemning you. Satan might accuse you, but he's wrong. He's a liar. And you can tell him to shut up. And you can tell him I said so because Jesus said so. There's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I have a new master now. I hear new voices now. The new voice I hear is the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's leading me. He's guiding me. He's directing me. And as a new creation being, I'm no longer condemned. Don't keep your ID connected to the exterior. God does His work on the inside. And the outside will come along. The outside will come along just fine if you begin to use that identity and begin to declare who you are in Jesus Christ. He wants you to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, the Bible says, from the inside out. So sometimes things are not so happy on the outside. but joy comes from the inside. And there might be tears in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Because Jesus Christ has made you a new creation being. Old things have passed away. All things have been made new. You don't have to be that depression case anymore. You don't have to be filled with sadness anymore. You don't have to be filled with fears and anxieties anymore, because you're a new creation being in Christ. Old things have passed away. So just say it. They've really gone.
They're really gone.
It's really true.
It's really true.
I'm a new creation being.
I'm a new creation being.
I have new creation realities.
I have new creation realities.
See yourself in Christ. That's your new identity. Acts chapter 17, verse 28 says, "For in him we move, we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said, for we are his offspring." Isn't that important? We're his offspring, so no wonder we live and move and have our being in him. Hallelujah. Number five is, when all this is working for you and in you, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, righteous is an interesting word. It means being made right with God or being justified. You know, justification, justified is a kind of a banking term, I guess. Angie isn't in here. I'd ask her if that applies. But it's a banking term that when you're justified, you're made right. All the figures add up. Everything is right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "For he made him," that's speaking of Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Can you see that all these words, in him, in whom, in Christ Jesus, they all portray who you are, the new identity that God has given you. They're giving you a new picture on the inside of who you really are. The devil might say you're one thing, but God says you're the righteousness of God in him. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. So when he's seeing you, he's seeing the Christ in you, the hope of glory. When he's looking at you, he's not looking at your past or your sins or those things that you did wrong even yesterday or even this morning. He's looking at Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he's evaluating you on the basis of Jesus, not on the basis of how good you are, how good you did, how well you did it, how performance-oriented you were. He's looking at what Jesus did and how perfect he was, how perfect he is, how well he did it, and how much he loved you so that he went to the cross and did it all for you so that you could obtain what he's made available to you, this new identity in Christ. In Christ, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So Jesus, on the cross, he took our sin. He took our shame. He took our pain so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Right there on the cross, he made it possible for us to be right with God, to have a place with God. He reconciled, the Bible says, he reconciled us to the Father and has given us that ministry of reconciliation. So we should be conscious of who we are. You should be conscious of who you are in Christ. You should be conscious that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, not that old person that was a sinner. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not a sinner anymore. I know we used to confess that in some of our churches, you know, where we grew up and things. But you're not a sinner anymore if you've accepted Jesus and made him your Lord. You're the redeemed of Jesus. You're the redeemed of God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. So you have to be conscious of that and change your thinking. Begin to renew your mind and agree with who you are in him. And when you begin to agree with who you are in him, you'll get a new picture of yourself. And that new picture of yourself is the real you. It's the real deal. It's the new identity. It's the idea of who you are. not who you were or not who you want to be. It's the idea of who you are right now because of what Jesus did to her. As you renew your mind to agree with who you are in him, you have to figure out either you're going to be in Christ or you're going to be in crisis. Which is your what's your choice? What do you want to be? So if you want to be in Christ, you need to begin to say, you need to continue to say, you need to continue to acknowledge over and over again who you are and keep drawing that picture. Keep making it clear. Make it clear to yourself. Make it clear to others. Make it clear to God. Make it clear to the devil. I am who he says I am. I'm not going to be that person. I am that person now. It may not look like it, and it may not be perfect in the sense that I did everything right, but it is who I am. Undeniably, unmistakably, it is who I am because he said it. He said it. He declared it. He put it in place, and I accept it, and I receive it in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So let's make a confession. I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
I am the righteousness of God in Christ.
I can't get more righteous than I am right now.
I can't get more righteous than I am right now.
Because he didn't make a mistake.
Because he did not make a mistake.
When he made me the righteousness of God,
that's what I became.
That's what I look like.
That's what I look like.
That's who I am. My idea is in him.
My idea is in him.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, so what do we take away from this? Now, there's many, many more scriptures that talk about being in Christ. So there's a lot of yellow you can put in your book, in the Bible. There are a lot of underlines you can make. There are a lot of entries you can make in your device. But what do we take away from this? Someone said one time that the key to the gospel is in the preposition. Now, I wasn't an English major, but I had a brother-in-law who was a teacher, and he would always correct us, you know, in any of the missteps of our English. So the preposition in is important because you're in Christ. The preposition in is important because it's in whom. The preposition in is important because you're in Christ Jesus. So maybe the key to the gospel is the in part. Because in him, I live and I move and I have my being. If I'm not in him, I've got a big problem. So that makes in and by and of and through and with very important words. So as you go through your Bible, start looking for those words. Look for in. Look for by. Look for of. Look for through. Look for with. Because it's drawing a picture of who you are in Christ Jesus. It's showing you God's picture of you. And when you're walking as God's picture of you, then that ID becomes ingrained in your inside, in your spirit person. And the outside realities begin to line up with that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 from the Amplified again. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. Old previous moral and spiritual conditions has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. Isn't that amazing? Jesus identified with our condition. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5 said, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was placed upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. So he totally identified with our condition. Now we need to identify with his condition. His condition is he's seated in the heavenly places. And the Bible says we're seated in heavenly places with him in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. So when we're joined to Jesus, we're one spirit with him. That's why we can carry ourselves with this new ID and be that new creation being that he's created to be. Like, it's kind of like satellite radio, you know. There aren't any wires up to the satellite. But you can still make the connection by turning on the receiver. And when you turn on the receiver of your heart, you can make the connection with him. Because you're in him, and in him you live and you move and you have your being. You can't see the connection. There's no hard wiring from you to him. But there is a connection from his spirit to your spirit. Because the one that's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. In verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Think of it. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. You just have to accept. You just have to receive it. Faith's confessions, they create these, they create and they release these realities in your life. Faith makes a confession. Faith has a voice. And your voice is your address in the spirit realm. So sometimes people just say, "Well, I don't feel right about saying that because, you know, I'm not perfect." This is not about your flesh being perfect. This is about declaring what God has declared about you already. This is about rising up to the place that he's called you to, because he said you can have all that he said you are. He's not holding back anything from you, and he will not stop helping you because he loves you. He cares about you. And he sent Jesus to the cross for you. So raise your voice and declare, "In him, I always walk in victory.
In him, I always walk in victory.
In Christ, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing.
In Christ, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing.
The law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
Has made me free from the law of sin and death. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
And I am complete in him.
And I am complete in him."
So you see, when you see these scriptures, those were scriptures from 2 Corinthians 2:14, Ephesians 1:3, Romans 8:2, Colossians 2:9 and 10. When you see scriptures like that, you can begin to say that about yourself. That's how you acknowledge, that's how you declare all the good things that you have in Christ. You need to declare them for yourself. You need to declare them to others. You need to proclaim them so that you can possess them fully and walk in them and be the picture of who God created you to be. It's not magic, and it does take some discipline. And it does take a renewed mind, because you have to start thinking differently about yourself. But that's what God wants us to have. In Romans chapter 12, it says that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to him, which is our reasonable service of worship. And then it says, verse 2, Romans 12:2, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So all we're asking you to do is keep renewing your mind by making these declarations over yourself. And though it's not magic, it will work for you, because you're doing what God has asked you to do. He said we should acknowledge all these things, all the good things that we have in Christ Jesus. We should keep repeating them over and over and over again. And you know what will happen? That blessing will get on the lives of other people that are around you, because God wants to use you to bring transformation in the lives of many. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, for your greatness and for your love. We thank you, Father, that you transformed our lives so that we could be living for you, so that we really could live in you and move in you and have our being in you. And thank you for all of those things, all those spiritual blessings that you've given us in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're so grateful and thankful that you redeemed us from the curse of the law and that you set our feet on the solid rock of Jesus. And that as he has become our Lord, Lord, that we're a changed person, a new creation being. Thank you, Jesus, that in the book of Revelation it says that you spoke and you said, "Behold, I have made all things new." So let us be that new creation reality that you spoke about. And for it, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So before we go off of Facebook Live, we want to pray for any of those who are on Facebook. So if you've sent any requests or whatever to Tanya or anybody, we will pray over you. Seems like there's none that have sent in any messages, so I'm just going to pray in general. Father, we ask you to bless our friends on Facebook Live. Bless those that are listening by podcast, Lord. May they always walk in the new creation realities that you've made for them. Father, may they always be the person that you created them to be, that they may live it to the fullness and be a partaker of your divine nature like you've described in 2 Peter, Lord. Father, we just ask you for your blessings to make them rich and to add no sorrows to them. We ask you for your grace to abound toward them that they can serve you acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And we thank you, Father God, for using their life in an amazing way, Lord, to reach others and to bless others and to be a blessing to others. Now bless them this week, Lord, and make this a week of special blessing, Lord. Give them great opportunities as they walk with you, opportunities to reach others, opportunities, Father, in their careers, opportunities in their homes and their families, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for blessing them richly and abundantly, Lord. Thank you for blessing the seed that they have sown and for increasing the fruits of their righteousness. And thank you, Father God, for blessing them to be a blessing everywhere that they go. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.